Grey hoodies, they cover their heads. I can't see their faces, can't see. And they knew me, looks well my hair. My heart was something drumming. No need to take from me. Don't throw the paint on me. I see the slip forming. I got lost astray.
Yo, welcome to the Cold World Podcast. I said I'd get something out there soon. It's been busy. It's been a lot happening. But I'm glad that I get a chance to spend some time with y'all. Happy holidays. I'm a person that is, Christmas is my favorite holiday out in this piece. So I'm happy. In the background, that new J. Cole is playing. I don't know how much I like it or not yet. You feel me? Like, I've listened to it like twice, but I gotta listen to it some more. You know what I'm saying? But it's in the background. I don't know if y'all can hear it or not. I have my good bottle of my good scotch with me, and it's a lot to talk about. So the things I'm gonna talk about today are, I had a post that went viral, about my parents graduating. So I know a lot of folks wanted me to speak on that. I was going to speak briefly on Trump's cabinet, and not just his cabinet, but just more so the shock that people are having by the cabinet that he's putting together. I'm just surprised that y'all are shocked. I don't know why. And then, and to tie on to that, just SNL trolling this boy. Like, that's just mad funny to me. I don't know. Like, I feel like every single week they have a show, they're going to be trolling Trump because they know he listening and he petty like that. I mean, Trump's pettiness and SNL's pettiness may be the only good things that's come out of 2016 because they mad petty with each other. And I'm lightweight here for that. I'm not going to lie to you. And then just general updates on life, B. Like, it's just a lot of things happening. So the viral post, let me just jump right into this, all right? So last week, no, maybe, I don't know when it was. Maybe it was last week. 2 weeks ago, my parents, they went back to school together, and they graduated on the same day. And so I couldn't go to graduation. I had class that day. I had my last class, so I needed to be there, you know, finals and all that good stuff. And so they sent me so I saw the picture, and I posted the picture, and I said how proud I was of them. And so, you know, I've had posts kind of go somewhat viral before, like when I wrote a few articles, and when Ebony picked up my article, Huffington Post has had a few things get, you know, like 5,000 hits or something like that. But like, this just started going viral in a way I had never seen before. I know I had never seen it before because my phone was just buzzing all day, both from Twitter and Facebook and then Instagram, and people just kept picking up the story. And so Good Morning America reached out to my parents. They reached out to me as well. I didn't see it. I was working. And so Good Morning America picked up the story. So then that cycle started again. And then they cross-posted to ABC News, which is all affiliated with Yahoo. So then it was on the front page of Yahoo. So now what happened is from that moment, then we started getting all these calls. So my parents got a bunch of calls. And, you know, it's dope for them. I'm really happy for them. Once you hear the story, you know, I think you might be happy for them as well. But now there's just been all these calls and there's been all these messages. So, for instance, I just got an email that I returned They want to do an interview like tomorrow. Some of the stuff is local. A lot of stuff ain't local. I think it's dope that my family back in Chicago, they heard about it. They saw it like on like the news. Like it made a way, it's made its way all the way back to Chicago. It's just been wild. And it's just been a lot of attention, right? And it's just been kind of interesting, you know. So the story is, you know, my parents and I, you know, our story is a real interesting one. So this is why I'm happy for them. So, you know, even the way I got to California is tied into my parents' story. My parents is, I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 83. My parents had me when they was, you know, kind of young. And then also when crack started popping. So my parents was on crack tough, right? And I didn't really grow up. The earlier parts of my life, I spent a lot of that time with my grandmother in Kentucky. So I would move back and forth between Chicago and Kentucky, Chicago, Kentucky, Kentucky, Chicago, you know, whatever, with my grandmother. And so when my grandmother finally passed, my dad had family in California. So that's how we ended up in California. We got on a Greyhound. My mom's actually was in jail at the time. It was weird, man. So like my parents, both my parents is like, have been in and out of jail, right? So I visited both my parents in jail. And so when we moved to California, my mom's actually finishing up a sentence. We took a Greyhound out to California. It was like 4 days on a bus. That's fun. And so so we did that, got out here, ended up living with family, ended up living in shelters. Mom gets out of jail, comes out, joins us. You know, we live in a few more shelters. She gets tired of that stuff. She's like, I'm going to rehab. I'm about to go get clean. And so my pops kind of took care of us while she went to go get clean. And I think at this time, when we was living in a shelter in San Francisco, you know, my job, I'm 6 and 8 years older than my brother and sister respectively. So I, like my job was to get them dressed, get them ready for school. So like my sister would stay with my pops because she wasn't in school yet. My brother was in kindergarten when I was in sixth grade. And this is when elementary school still went kind of K to six. And so I would get them dressed, get them ready. You know, we get on BART, go to school in West Oakland, and then my pops would pick them up. That was kind of routine. And so from that point on, like I was kind of up there. I was kind of, you know, grown. I was helping take care of and raising my siblings. So my mom's gets clean. And then, you know, she gets a little apartment to kind of start over. You know, pops tries to come around. My mom's just like not with it, right? She's like, there's going to definitely be some adult language in this. My mom's not with the shit that way. So she's like, hey, I'm clean. If you want to be part of this family, you got to go get clean. So he, you know, after that, I do, for as much beef as I've had with my pops and as much beef as I've had with my parents, like the one thing I have to always constantly give props to is that I've never probably seen somebody in real life love a woman the way that my dad loved my mom, even though that in the beginning that stuff was just mad, like dysfunctional. Like I don't want no parts of that, but like the thought of really losing my mom's drove a crackhead to stop smoking crack. Like, that's some powerful ass love, right? Like, when you really thinking about that, right? Like that's mad powerful. So he ended up getting clean. And then, you know, I went to a bunch of schools, man. I think it's like 11. I tried to count. I went to like 11 elementary schools. You know, had to kind of get caught up and all that stuff. And then once I finished school, you know, I played basketball and all that, but you know, it was big for me to, I knew as a kid that I was going to want to do some work that affected folks in Oakland and Chicago. I just knew it. And Paducah, those are three places that I live. Those are the places where I saw people the most messed up. You know what I'm saying? So that was just something that I knew I wanted to do. And so my first career was as a social worker. And it actually, you know, I actually fell into that in a different, you know, position work with young people, but I then, you know, started to pursue the social worker thing, and that was really cool. And then, you know, I wanted to help kids, so I went and did the youth work, and that led to working with teachers, and now to work at the district to now where I'm just obsessed with how are we educating black kids. And when you drill into that, how are we educating black kids that grew up the way I did? So when we say, oh, it's the parents, well, my parents was messed up, right? So like, what if your parents is not in a position to be that supportive? So if they not that, if they just can't be supportive for whatever reason, like if my dad's in jail and my mom's on the rock, does that mean that I just don't deserve a good education at that point? Like that's kind of been my thing, right? And I know that, you know, things are changing, but the more and more I do education work, the deeper I get into it from both a professional level and an education level, you know, that question is not going away. And that's how I kind of look at things, right? Like, how do you empower kids and families and community to be able to take the education that these kids deserve? Because even if you ain't on crack, and even if you not, you know what I'm saying, messed up in the game, if you black, education for you probably ain't that good just from a statistical standpoint, right? Like 20%, when you got like 20-25% of black folks being, you know what I'm saying, proficient, whether it's in language arts or whether it's in mathematics, like that's hella whack. Like, so, you know, you got to be out one of the lucky 20% to do well. And so my research has been around looking at ways to kind of not just exacerbate that and not putting all the hope and emphasis on schools, but what impact is it that the black church is supposed to have? What's the impact that community organizations have? What's the impact that mentors have? And it's a really real impact. And so as I'm starting to build out what my research is, it's around that. Cause I just don't, all my eggs will never just be in that one basket. Cause that'd be stupid. Like, that's just hella dumb to me, right? Like, if that's what I've seen my whole life and none of that stuff was quality, if I've been, you know, 11 elementary schools, one middle school, two high schools, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a lot of schools to not necessarily feel or see exemplary education for black folks, right? And so I'm a broken record on that stuff, and I talk about that crap a lot. So now, you know, they got this beautiful picture. I got a young looking parents. My parents clean up well. Mom, pop, y'all are a beautiful couple, you know, and y'all photogenic. And my parents, yo, you minister and minister Cole, I think that's what they're going for now. Like, you just wouldn't know like who these people were, you know what I'm saying, 20 years ago. And that transformation is big, and I know that was a big role for them. And so they take all these cute, corny pictures together. They wear like matching outfits. Like, they like a cute little married couple now. And I'm glad that they get to experience marriage in that way, because in the first few, you know, decades was rough in the game, son. Like, and you know, I salute you. And that's basically what I said in the post. And now that post is just getting all this attention. And it's kind of weird, right? Like, when I think about it, you know, it's like a lot of questions, right? Like I said, like I'm glad that people are so kind of juiced and amped by it, right? But you know what I'm saying? But like, having to get that interview over and over and over and over again, like, it's just real interesting for me. I don't know why I'm still, well, I get a lot of calls for the interview. I kind of been like, you can just, you know, you should just call them, like, let them, they can have that shine, you know what I'm saying? But I think that that they have been mad. Like, I think they've been mad inspirational for people. So, like, there's, like, thousands and thousands of comments. Like, not on the actual article. On the article, it's, like, trolls and racist people. But, like, on the Facebook comments, there are people that's talking about their journey back to school or what they did earlier in their life. And my parents is, like, getting to be role models for these people. And I know it got them super juiced. And I'm happy for them, man. I'm happy that they get this moment. So, let me tell you, like, my mama cute, right? Let me tell you what my mama do. So my mama goes through the Facebook post on these articles, right? It's thousands of comments, okay? And, like, I'm like, mama, I don't know if you working throughout the day or Facebook should pay you, because she's going through the comments, right? And, like, encouraging each person, okay? Like, my mama, she got to be spending hours and hours of her time doing this, because, like, I mean, it's adorable. But I'm like, mama, you can't. You just gonna comment to everybody. And then my dad, Cole Jr., this Negro, is joining in. So they like tag team Facebook ministering to people, and they just haven't. If that could just be y'all job, if I could just drop the bag and let that be what y'all did, I would just do that, because that's just seemed to be what's making y'all happy. So, you know what I'm saying? So, like, but yeah, man, my parents and I, we got like a different relationship. I would say our relationship, I love my parents and my people. I would say it's not as much like a traditional parent-son relationship, right? Like, I grew up too quick. I just knew too much. You know what I'm saying? As far as, like, I just knew things that a child probably shouldn't have known growing up. So, like, I don't get parently advice from my parents, right? Like, my dad is not having heart-to-hearts with me, and my mom is not like, we don't have, the relationship is not like that. It's more of an equal kind of peer. I mean, I think that the way they've seen me grind is what kind of pushed them to go back to school, right? So we've switched roles in some ways. Like, in this education thing, I'm kind of like the parent, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, well, hey, I don't know if you should do that way, or we should look at this and think through this, you know? But God bless them, man. I think that's adorable. I hope y'all, mom, pop, hope y'all are enjoying the 15 minutes. Enjoy it. Get a vacation out of it or something. You deserved it. You earned it. I'm proud of y'all, and I'm happy for you. And I'm about ready for the next thing to be happening. But the one thing that I am excited for is I do think that it has given, I went back and looked at my writing. More people are looking at that. And I do think that the fact that I've been an education advocate for Black folks, I think that plays well. Like, that's the part that I think that is special. Like, just having that kind of impact that you wasn't really thinking about or trying to go for, I think that's real cool. And so, you know, that's what's up. But so in the midst of all that, right, Trump, let's talk about Trump for a little bit. I ain't gonna spend too much time on him. I'm not even really talking about Trump at this point. I'm talking about the people that still reacting to Trump. So every time Trump makes an announcement of who's in his cabinet, it's like a day of just shock and awe from, like, my friends. Like, my liberal friends, especially, like, my liberal white friends, it's just, like, shock and awe. And then from, like, the real stout conservative, more white people, they, like, in shock and awe as well. Like, they not happy with this dude. And that's cool. I get it. I don't like him either. I think he's a basket case. But I'm just, like, at this point, I don't believe that you shocked. Like, I don't believe that you're appalled at this point, yo. If he made El Chapo the drug czar, I wouldn't be surprised at this point, son. You know what I'm saying? I just wouldn't. It could be the two people in the run is El Chapo and Nino Brown from the Carter. I don't, like, what are you expecting? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just can't be, I just can't be shocked at this point. You feel me? It's like, no, you just, so I was listening to some friends talk about it, you know, and I was just like, and I'm just listening to him, and I'm just like, who did you think he was going to pick? You know what I mean? Like, Rudy Giuliani just took himself out the running for Secretary of State, right? That's what's up. Like, all right, cool. But I'm saying, who was you expecting him to pick? Did you expect him to pick a moderate person that has good ideas and strong values? Is that what you was expecting to happen? Oh, okay. I was just checking, because I don't understand how you still confused that we put the Mad Hatter in as president, son. When you put the Mad Hatter in as president, you get Mad Hatter stuff back, B. This is how that works. And then, here's my question, right, to my liberal people. If, let's say he did have in his thoughts somebody who was sane, and a moderate Democrat or a moderate Republican, if they take the job, you gonna ostracize them anyway. So which one is it, right? Do you not want him putting kooks in, or should nobody from our side step up and do the work? Like, that's a real big question. That's a big question, man. I don't know. If Donald Trump asked me to work, would I do it? Would I take that job? I don't know, man. I think that, like, I think my gut would be, my gut reaction is like everybody else's, no, hell no, blah, 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 right? But if I felt that I could do something to help my people and still kind of, and even somewhat separate myself, like be in conflict with the man and still try to push forward my work, is it my obligation to take that? I don't know. Like, I think about Lincoln and like the cabinet that he had. He had a cabinet of dissenters, right? Like, he had people that he put in there strategically that was purposely against him so he could have, you know, a different level of critique and a different level of thought go into these decisions, right? Like, that's when those masterful debates used to happen. I don't know when the last political masterful debate has happened. I don't know if it's happened in my lifetime at this point, you know what I mean? But we didn't like the parliamentary system. So I don't know. I just think that I don't know what to expect, right? But that also makes me think more about, you know, as I talk about Trump, yo, the feud with him and Saturday Night Live, I got popcorn, yo. Like, I'm sitting with popcorn. Like, Trump's Twitter is way too turnt, bro. Like, so Donald Trump says something crazy. His surrogates will go out and be like, that's not what he meant. And then Trump be like, that's exactly what I meant on his Twitter. Come on. This dude is our president. Yo, have you ever seen a more free person? This dude, he has... the world gonna explode, man. So SNL, who knows that Trump is watching because he tweets about it every week. Like, they just trolling. Oh, they just trolling him hard, right? So the SNL that came on last night, they had John Cena do this skit around him and like what his fantasy is, and you know, the fantasy got him having big hands and, you know, and people loving him or whatever the case is, right? It's just wild, man. And they just like daring him now to respond. And I think he will. I don't know. I think he will a few more times. And yes, Barbara, he is quite ridiculous. But I think he will keep responding. And I don't know if they're just going to shut his account down. I don't know. I have no clue what's going to happen. It's no clue. I'm glad they make scotch. Very good scotch. Cause this is wild. This dude is crazy. So the updates, folks been asking about the updates on my life. So work has just been real busy. So one last little rant about LinkedIn. I've been on the board for Children's Hospital, Oakland, San Francisco, like for a while, since like kind of the beginning of this year, right? And I noticed that I didn't update my LinkedIn. So I tried to update it, but anytime you make a change on it, it tell everybody. So it prompted all these people to think that I like switched jobs, and I have not left my job. There's all this speculation if I'm leaving my job, and right? And it's like, no, I didn't leave my job. Like, LinkedIn just does that. I don't know why LinkedIn does that. LinkedIn, can y'all have a building to where I can update stuff and I can push a button that says don't announce all my damn business? I would like that. That would be cool. I don't want people to, you know, that, so that's been, so things at the hospital have been cool. Definitely about to do a lot of, it's the holiday season. Around the holidays, I definitely try to give back. I spend a lot of holidays in shelter, so in soup kitchens, soup lines, and I spent my time there as a child because I had to. So I look forward to volunteering in our schools and in our hospitals, just because like that stuff makes a difference. And I would definitely venture to say, if you have some time, go to your local hospital, go to like your schools or whatnot, and offer your time. Or go to a shelter. Like, I know that it makes a huge difference in a kid's life. I just want to, like, I remember those moments being fun and when the holidays just have a different feeling when you in those places, and people genuinely showing care for you, like, is something that does make you feel a lot better. On the school, on the work tip, work is just busy, man. We always in some type of, you know, we in transition. It happens. And this is just a busy time. And so you just put your head down and you work and you try to knock it out and you try to be good to the people. You push education, you push the stuff that you believe, and you just try to do exemplar work, because that's just what you're supposed to do. That's just what I believe in. And so, you know, I don't really have too many complaints about work. It's just, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do the stuff that I do. And I look forward to being able to have an impact. I just try to give it my all. And then on the school tip, man, these last few papers are, Barbara asks, what are some good service activities for kids to do? You know what? Barbara, one of the things that folks could definitely do is serving food to people. I think I always, so when I'm at work, so I used to, you know, you live in a shelter, you ain't had no food. You had to like eat with everybody, and you had to depend on people's charity. But so now that I'm an adult and I make money, I always offer to buy people lunch, and I'm always trying to feed somebody. And I had to think about that a few years ago. And it's because, like, you know, black folks, especially, well, I would say people of color, I mean, people express care and love through food. I know that in my history, that's how we've done it. So I try to feed people. I don't know. I'm always trying to feed somebody. I'm like, I'm about to go get to the sandwich store. You want a sandwich? So I think, Barbara, one thing that could be really impactful for your kids is if y'all go and volunteer like a soup kitchen, and they get to see people and they actually are giving people food, you know, and giving people food and water, you handing people life. That's how I look at that. So you ask, what are some good service activities for kids to do? I would say that. And I would also say having your kids make some kind of donation. When you get a kid donating stuff early on, it just instills something in them differently. And I just think that that's like, I don't think that that's something that ever goes away. I think that's why I keep taking these cursed public jobs to like do education or health or whatever. Like, I need to just go make money. I want to just not care, and I want to go work for Uncle Tim Cook, and I just want, like, maybe I just need to do that. All right, I need to just be detached, you know, and just make some donations and get the tax write-offs. That's what I'm gonna try to make that happen, man. That's what I need to do in my life. You welcome, Barbara. And so, you know, the other update is just around my place, man. So, like, I was thinking about moving. I got a really nice spot. Like, it's a cool spot. It's in great location. I got a great rent for Oakland. But it's just, I want to feel a certain way when I come into my apartment. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ever got that feeling where you're just like, all right, this is stale now. You know, I need something fresher. I want something that kind of closer represents my personality, you know? And so I was looking at new places. And then, you know, my circle, people who care about me, they say they do, and they don't care about my unhappiness, jerks. They was like, hey, man, you have a great rent. Your rent is going to go up three times over if you leave. Why don't you just like redecorate? So I'm still in the process of getting, like, I met with an interior decorator today, right? Sweet. This woman was dope, super sweet, great ideas. And then I asked her how much it cost. Y'all, it cost a lot of money to have an interior decorator come in and do something with your apartment, yo. Like, I'm gonna keep looking. I'm gonna take some of her ideas. I'm gonna keep talking to her. Maybe I'll just come around the money. But yo, like, I mean, there would be no more trips to Paris anytime soon if I take this route. But it might make more sense to just go ahead, spend a nice little chunk of change, have the type of place that I want, and then, you know, still have super cheap rent. I don't know, but that's something that I'm thinking about. All right, like I live in this place where it's people like the motif and the feel of these older apartment buildings by Lake Merritt in Oakland, right? Like, so a lot of y'all are not from Oakland. Oh, yeah. Oh, before I forget. Yo, we passed 150,000 people. Thank you. Yo, that's really dope. With no money in it, no advertisement, just word of mouth stuff. Y'all being faithful and listening. And even though I do it, you know, I still do the podcast, but I do it live. When I do it live, that eats away from people that would actually go and like download the podcast or do the hits. But we still passed 150,000. So that's growing. And that's because of y'all. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I don't know why y'all keep clicking this, but I really, really appreciate it. And I promise y'all, I'm gonna put some money and some resources into this and make this better for you, like better music guests and all that stuff. It's coming, but we had to cross the 150,000 mark. So anyway, back to what I was saying. A lot of people like the motif of these older apartments by the lake, and they like look for that, right? And like, you can charge a lot for it, but check it out. You know who's not down with that? Me. I like clean lines. I want 2017 stuff. Like, I don't like clutter. I don't need nothing that is wood. None of that. I don't like it. It don't work for me. That's why I love like hotels. I like traveling more than the average person. One, because it's just me and I enjoy going to see the damn world, because there was a time in my life that I didn't think I'd ever be able to get on a plane. So I get on planes as often as I can. And two, I love awesome hotels. Like, I love hotels that have like decor and like these themes, and just like, I just like it. I also like leaving the room and then coming back and everything is magically clean. It's the greatest magic trick. You can keep David Blaine. When I come back, if my house is clean, that you are my personal David Blaine, son. I like that. So yeah, I'm thinking about those things. And that's it, man. I know I haven't published anything. I have been writing. I've been writing like crazy, but I have not published anything. It's been going towards the book, but I might leak something. I just don't think it's ready for public consumption. I think it's just really raw. And when I write something, I don't want to just write to write. Like, I like to publish things when I feel like there's a purpose for it. I know that it kind of hurts my own brand by not just being consistent and doing that, but I just don't want to, when I put something out, I want to put something out through my heart. Like, I usually the articles that you get from me is like me taking my heart out and like wringing it over some paper and giving it to you. Like, I don't want to just put words together. Like, I know that I should do that because it'll make me a stronger writer. But I usually only write and publish stuff when the spirit moves me. And it's just, you know, I just been so focused on work and so focused on the things in front of me and so focused on school, and so focused on actually getting content for this book done that I haven't like published anything, but I will soon. That's a promise. Once I get these two papers that I still have to do for this doctorate program done, and then I can breathe a little bit before the next semester starts, I will definitely get back on that. So yeah, man, I appreciate you all, man. I think y'all are mad dope. Thank y'all for rocking with me. I only went a little over the 30 minutes, but oh, I had the music playing. It stopped. My bad, y'all. I like having the music in the background. But yeah, but I did enjoy the conversation with you all. For the folks that are watching in live, you know, you can still go get the podcast show. It's the Cold World Podcast. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher. You also can find it on SoundCloud. Yes, I spent that bread and bought a SoundCloud account. I didn't want to, but I did because y'all asked me to. All right, now the people, I got your text messages and your emails and your Facebook Messenger and your Twitter DMs talking to me about SoundCloud. So if I post this stuff to SoundCloud, then I check the feed and y'all ain't listening on SoundCloud, I'm have a real issue with you people specifically. All right, because it was a bunch of y'all asking for it, and then, damn it, you better, you know,
No. It's like when you're your parents and you beg for something, like from the store, and then you realize you didn't really like it that much. No, you about to sit at this table and you about to eat all of this. But I got school tomorrow. I don't care. You about to eat all of this. But, yo, it's 11 o'clock at night. I eat it. That's how I feel about y'all on SoundCloud right now. All right? So with that being said, man, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for downloading. Please continue to download. You can reach me on my Twitter at @ccoleiii. That's at @ccoleiii. On Instagram, it's the same thing, at @ccoleiii. And on Facebook, I think it's just facebook.com/CharlesColeIII or CharlesColeIII. And go check out the website at energyconverters.org. And with that being said, man, y'all have an amazing night. Continue to take care of yourselves and each other, especially in these times, because things is crazy. People losing their minds. And there's a lot of hate out there. And the only thing that can beat hate is love. And possibly a rocket. But I think you should just go with love. I think that's what you should just do. You know, leave the rockets alone. All right? Peace.
Turn from the depths of the bad man with a gun and a knife and a waistband. Went to war with the devil and Shaytan. He wore a bad toupee and a spray tan. So high now, hoping that I land on a tie stick moving through Thailand. On the radio, heard a plane hijack. Government did that like they could crack. I move in a world of conspiracies. Obey no rules, I'm doing me. Smoke kush transport to the airport. Customs found a joint in my passport. Full cash and I gave him what he asked for. God damn it, it's a motherfucking miracle. Small bride made it back into America. Hit Uber and maneuvered out the area. Rhyme animal, pit bull terrier. Rap terrorist, terror, I paired up. Brought gas in the matches to flare it up. Militant Michael, Michael, psycho. On any ally or rival. Born black, that's dead on arrival. My job is to fight for survival. In spite of these, all lives matter as white folk.
This is spiritual warfare that you have been dealing with. This is not a fight that you have been dealing with, flesh and blood. But this is a fight against principalities and evil.